It's a movement, but it's about people. Be the People is about we the people joining forces to reclaim and reshape the best of our nation's time-treasured traditions. Each week, we offer insightful interviews with movers and shakers from all different spheres of life. And now, please welcome Dr. Carol Swain.
Today, we're going to be talking about an unusual way to influence our society. Maybe not so unusual, but something that a lot of people don't think about very often. Have you ever thought about voting with your pocketbook? Being the people who shape our society by when and where you spend your money for goods and services. Leftist social justice warriors, steeped in cultural Marxism, have taken over the messaging of many large corporations who use your money to push for values and principles that run contrary to our Judeo-Christian values and principles. We've seen this happen with Target, Starbucks, Home Depot, Shell Oil, and many others. Many of these organizations support Planned Parenthood and same-sex marriage, issues where Bible-believing Christians hold a different viewpoint. We have a different set of values. Our next guest, David Black, has created an organization named Second Vote. Second Vote provides tools that inform and educate us, we the people, about some of the companies and how we can hold them accountable. David is someone I've known for a long time. He's a scientist, he's a successful entrepreneur, and he's the husband of former Representative Diane Black. He's also a sponsor of the Be the People radio show heard on WFAX in Washington, D.C. David joins us today to update us on changes with Second Vote and what we can do to make sure that our money supports our values. So, David, welcome back to Be the People.
Well, Carol, thank you very much. Great pleasure to be back with you again, and I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to your audience.
Thank you for sponsoring the radio show in the D.C. media market.
Well, you know, Carol, I've been a longtime big fan of yours, so I'm delighted that we're able to help sponsor your show and help support your message, your rational, reasonable, logical, sensible messaging that you put out.
David, I'd like for you to tell us about why you started Second Vote.
Well, there are a couple of parts to the foundation of Second Vote. One is after the 2010 election, when Diane was first elected to Congress, she was going around the Tennessee 6th District holding meetings with constituents on a Saturday morning at a library or at a local venue throughout the 6th District, which is 19 counties in Tennessee. And one of the things that I took note of, even though 2010 was a very good election year for pushing back on the progressive agenda, many of the people who came out to speak to Diane were still frustrated that they didn't think their vote was enough, that there was more they wanted to do to continue to try to change and push back on the progressive leftist agenda. So that was happening. But then also late in 2011, Diane and I, after church every Sunday, we go to Publix to do our grocery shopping. At the cash register, young lady asked me if I would donate to the March of Dimes. And I said, certainly, and I can't recall, I said, put $5 or $10 on my bill. And we did that, checked out. And when we got outside, Diane asked me, why did you do that? And I said, why shouldn't I have done that? And she said, well, you know, the March of Dimes works with Planned Parenthood. And I said, no, I did not know that. And we are staunchly pro-life. We don't donate to anything that touches abortion as an issue. And I was just taken aback that I didn't know that. And I began to ask myself, what else do I not know? And after ruminating on that question for several months in February of 2012, I pulled together seven young Christian techie individuals to discuss what might we do to begin to conduct research to find out what organizations and corporations are doing with regard to the cultural wars. And so we began with a simple idea of just looking into what companies are doing. It was, you know, I had some sense that there was corporate activism, social activism, but in all candor, it's been shocking to discover the extent to which corporations have been pushed by the left to adopt policies, corporate policies, that push forward the abortion issue, the gay marriage issue, this gender issue. Now, I mean, that's a more recent development, but also the extreme environmentalism, corporations that are supporting sanctuary cities, illegal immigration, companies that are supporting the dumbing down of our education system through Common Core and other types of education plans and programs. And so we ended up with seven issues, a number of which I just mentioned. Other issues are marriage and, Second Amendment and extreme environmentalism. So we have now landed on seven different issues to focus on, and we identify which organizations, corporations are supporting that are advancing an anti-American agenda on each of those seven issues. And then we post that information on our website. We're in the process of upgrading both the website and the mobile app. The mobile app will be an app version of the website shortly. But that information is readily available to conservatives, to Christians, and to constitutionalists who are concerned about where our country is going.
Well, you know, when I took business as an associate degree back in the 70s, we were taught that corporations maximize profits. And it was the profit motivation. And now it really does seem that many of the corporations, if not all of them, are pushing some type of social political agenda.
You are absolutely correct. They are diverting profits into whatever the CEO's or board of directors' pet social activity might be, and they're basically taking the investors' money and using it to satisfy their own personal ego, which is shocking to learn that. But if you follow the news since last week, actually a week ago this past Monday, in a two-page spread in the Wall Street Journal, 181 corporate executives signed a letter saying that they're going to redefine capitalism and that their loyalty is not to the shareholder, but to what they're now calling the stakeholders. Well, stakeholders can be whoever
that.
They say. Oh, yes. And they've actually now codified and they've come out publicly that this is what they're doing. So anybody who's an investor needs to look at these companies that are now saying your money is really our money and we'll spend it how we wish. And you're absolutely right. Traditionally and historically, the agreement between the investor and the corporation is you put your money into our company and we're going to give you a return on that investment. So that return on investment for many people represents planning for retirement and providing funds in later life. So, you know, here's where we are, Carol, which is just astonishing. And of course, Diane, my wife, was in Congress, so I follow the political side of everything very closely. But we have a Social Security program that people are forced to put money into, that today any investment advisor will tell someone putting money into their Social Security program, which they have to do, that don't plan on that for your retirement because the system is probably not going to be there for you because our politicians are not protecting the investment, the dollars that are going into Social Security. Well, now we have corporations doing exactly the same thing that our irresponsible Congress has done. Now we have corporate leaders, board of directors, taking the dollars, hard-earned dollars by Americans who are working and saving for their future. And now these corporate executives have said, oh, well, we're going to take that money and we're going to spend it on 56 different gender identities as defined by the LGBTQ community. We're going to spend it on extreme environmentalism. We're going to spend it on illegal immigration and supporting sanctuary cities. This is what these corporate executives have just said. Your money actually belongs to us. And so there are 181 corporate executives with the Business Roundtable that signed this and put this into print last week. And it's a very disturbing development. This is absolutely contrary to the traditional understanding and agreement between the investor and the corporation. Corporations should be run to create profit, and that profit should be used to develop better products and services for their customers. It should be used to provide better benefits to their employees, and it should provide a maximum return on investment for their investors who are planning for their later life financial security. So this is a remarkable development. I pray and hope, and I'm working with many who are going to look to push back on this very hard. But it's really going to come down to everybody who's got a retirement plan to start complaining a great deal. If you're investing in the stock market and these corporations, and this is like J.P. Morgan is one of the very worst. Jamie Dimon, who's the CEO, he's a leader of this. But Progressive Auto is bad. Auto insurance, they signed the letter. I don't have the listing right here in front of me.
What says it in the name? Progressive Insurance is one of the worst abuses as well.
Yes. Oh, they're bad on other issues as well. And many of these companies have a long-standing social activism history. So it's no surprise they signed the letter. But what is really troubling is by having done this, it really opens the door to greater coercion by the radicals on the left that are really promoting a socialist agenda. You're right on the cultural Marxism commentary. This is absolutely an anti-Judeo-Christian agenda.
Well, David, we're going to take a break. And when I return, I'd like to hear your thoughts about what those of us can do who invest in mutual funds.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I'm back with my guest, David Black, and we're talking about corporations that are abusing the public trust and investing in a lot of causes that run totally contrary to Judeo-Christian values and principles that have helped make this country great, and just the whole idea of capitalism. So, David, when it comes to mutual funds, what can people do, or are we not at that point where we can talk about how we can gain control of the money that's invested in funds where we don't necessarily know everything that's in our portfolio?
Yeah, I think it is a complex issue on the investment side. I hope that we are going to be able to develop strategies to deal with that. I do think there are other corporations that are going to take advantage of this manifesto that was signed by these 181 corporate executives, that other companies will step up and say, no, we're still going to maximize return on investment. But our leverage at the moment would be to follow the five steps that we have promoted through our focus on the retail side, because many of these corporations that have signed this manifesto are companies that work with the public, like J.P. Morgan and Progressive Insurance. And you can make a decision to align your dollars with your values. So what we do generically is we say always, number one, shop local. Now, that's not always possible because you do have these big national organizations that you're going to have to shop with, say, for automobile insurance or life insurance or whatever. But you don't have to go to Progressive Auto. You can Progressive Insurance. You can go somewhere else. But always shop local first. Keep your dollar at home. If you're shopping with someone that you go to church with, or you're shopping with someone who you're at Rotary with, or Sertoma, or whatever network is within your community, you're probably shopping with people that share your values. So that, we think, is extremely important. Shop local first. It's like coffee shops. Starbucks is the worst of coffee shops, although they also own Seattle's Best. So you have to appreciate it, Starbucks and Seattle's Best. But in every city, you have local, you have families that have opened up coffee shops. You have local shops that you can go and get your coffee. You don't have to buy a cup of Starbucks and then fund abortion or fund illegal immigration in sanctuary cities or fund the extreme LGBTQ agenda. The second thing you can do after shopping local is shop the highest second vote score. We score on a 1 to 5 scale. One is extreme liberal. 5 would be Christian conservative. Neutral is at a 3. So if a company is scored below a 3, then they are leaning or actively liberal. And so we advise folks to try to shop 3 or greater. Now, sometimes you can't avoid shopping below a 3, but because the left has been so active for the last 70 years, they've got so many companies that they've tied up with their agenda. So you can chop the highest score on our second vote scoring. The next thing you can do is raise your voice. We've made it easy through our website where you can send a message to these corporations that aren't behaving in a way that's consistent with our traditional American Judeo-Christian values. And we've got it so you can push a button and communicate with them and send them a message that says, I don't like what you're doing. I'd like to shop at your store, but I'm not going to. I will tell you that several years ago, Macy's department stores, they called us, their PR department called Second Vote, and asked us to change their vote on the life issue because they said they were tired of hearing from our followers at Second Vote and they were going to stop funding Planned Parenthood. So we did. We changed their score from a 1 to a 3. But so we know if you raise your voice and you say you're concerned about this and you want change, we can make a difference. And our goal at Second Vote is really, we'd like to see all companies get out of the cultural wars. I mean, we're not going to discourage a company that's scored for a 4 or 5, but our goal really is to get to all those companies that are actively engaged in anti-American activities that are funding anti-American behavior. We want those companies to go neutral. We want to get them out of the cultural war. And then finally, just so we use the right language, we are not promoting a boycott or a boycott. What we're trying to do is educate Christians and conservatives and constitutionalists to say, look, this is what these companies are doing. You make the decision. Shop your values. We think that's what can make a difference. And we just give you that opportunity to do that. But we're not calling for boycotts. I mean, we know you're going to have to go into some of these stores, but if you do go into a store that's scored badly, let them know you're shopping there. You are looking for alternatives, but you would like them to change their policy so you can continue to be a customer.
Well, I can tell you that a lot of us have boycotted Target, and it's probably been 3 or 4 years since I've been inside of a Target. And whenever I catch any of my friends saying that they're going to Target, I remind them that it's on the boycott list.
They are on the list of engaging and supporting extreme positions such as the LGBTQ agenda. And I think everybody listening most likely knows that they adopted a transgender policy that allows males to enter into female dressing areas or bathrooms. It's unbelievable that any organization would adopt such a policy. But, you know, even some years back, I recall here in Nashville, Tennessee, I believe it's when Carl Dean was still mayor, in fact, I'm sure it was, that there was an effort through the Metro Council to adopt a policy that says if you do business as a business, if you're a businessman or you're a business and you have a contract with Metro Davidson County, that you would have to adopt a corporate policy that would allow men into women's bathrooms. And that was discussed years ago. So, you know, the LGBTQ community, when they were not making gains at the state level, they began to concentrate on cities. And you may recall they were very successful in Houston. where in Houston, they even had the situation of a gay mayor demanding that pastors turn over their sermons to the mayor's office so they could, finally that was defeated and that was turned around. But that's the kind of behavior these people engage in. It is, you know, we have historically been a nation of great tolerance, respect, and civility. And this whole movement by these socialists, by these cultural Marxists, is evil. It's mean-spirited. It is intended to intimidate people into thinking like them. And this is a true cultural battle, but it's a true attack on the Judeo-Christian foundation of our nation.
Well, what most people don't understand, if you've not studied Marxism, you think these things are just happening because our society is, quote, progressing. But if you study Marxism, all of this was planned out. And it is part of a larger agenda to change America. And it's something that's happening because our universities, they are no longer places where you have a diversity of viewpoints. You have young people going into those institutions, being indoctrinated with the leftist thought and with the protest strategies. They graduate, they get jobs, they go into media, into corporations, into churches, and what they do is push their agendas. And they try to squelch anyone else who speaks up.
Oh, absolutely. This is a very well understood strategy and process. And I think what's amazing, you can go back to 1837 to a young Abraham Lincoln, where he was president, when he spoke to the men's group in Lyceum, Illinois. And he then stated in 1837, he said, "America is too strong of a nation to be defeated from an enemy without. We can only fall from an enemy within." And that is exactly what is being played out here. We have had almost 100 years now of what is called a progressive movement, but it's anything but progressive. It's quite regressive. But a progressive movement of trying to destroy the Constitution of the United States, to really destroy the meaning and the words that are found in the Declaration of Independence, and to really, through many clever ways and approaches, to change the meaning of words, where good words have been changed into words that are no longer acceptable, and also to completely muzzle any dissent or thoughts that are different from those being advanced by, again, what we, I guess, just generally call progressives. But no, this has been a organized, well-financed attack on America. And I am concerned that for many Americans, that they think today, which is a lot like yesterday, will be the same tomorrow. And they don't understand that today there's a lot of people in our society that are working to move America to a very ugly place. And, you know, some real quick stats for your audience, which I think they ought to understand what a wonderful thing our founders gave us and how our society has been structured, and what our Constitution and our faith have given us. Most of your audience may not know this, but 56% of Americans are in the 7% richest people of the world. This is a Pew study published in 2015. 88% of Americans are among the richest 16% of all people on the planet Earth. There are only 7% of Americans that are among the poorest 71% of the people on the planet Earth. We have an extraordinary system of fairness, of opportunity, of giving up. You know, this is why everybody wants to come to America. We have this tremendous opportunity. We have what's called the American dream. I mean, you know, Carol, there's no Spanish dream. There's no Russian dream. There's no Chinese dream. It's an American dream. And so how is Bernie Sanders going to improve upon this?
Well, we know that, and both of us and Diane as well are products of that American dream, which is a different story at a different time, but we were not handed anything.
Well, Carol, you know, I was born very poor in Michigan, and, you know, Diane was born in public housing, and I tell people my family aspired to live in public housing.
I was raised in a shack and had 11 siblings.
Yep. And this is a country where, in spite of that challenge in your youth and your start, you can overcome it and succeed. And your story is, in fact, just an incredible story. So, but the American dream is something that has really been that promise to everyone. And this new socialism wants to steal that away from all of our citizens. There is no socialist country in the world that has ever enriched their citizens. It only makes people perhaps equally poor, although the politicians that run socialist states always seem to do far better than the citizens.
That's right. We're going to take another break, and when we return, I'm going to give you an opportunity to tell our listeners how they can learn more about Second Vote.
There are speakers, and then there are great speakers who know the importance of creating that memorable moment. Well, the key to any successful event is an informative and inspirational speaker. Professor Dr. Carol Swain is that gifted speaker. She delivers passionately from the heart every time. To find out more about booking Carol for your next great event, simply go to carolmswain.com. Click on Public Speaking and then click the blue Book Carol tab.
I'm back with my guest, David Black. And David, I appreciate so much having you on the show and would like for you to use the remaining time to tell our listeners how they can learn more about Second Vote. And for people who would like to hear more of my conversation with David, I would encourage you to go to my website, bethepeoplenews.com or the America Out Loud Network, and listen to the full interview, which is on my podcast. So bethepeoplenews.com or America Out Loud for more of my conversation with David. So David, how can our listeners learn more about Second Vote?
Well, if the audience will go to our website, which is secondvote.com, and it's the number two, not second spelled out, but the number two. So it's secondvote.com. And they can come on the site. They'll see our posted articles on various issues, but they can go into the company directory, put in the name of a company, and it will take them to scoring. We've got about 1,000 companies that are posted with the research that we have, through our research, what we've uncovered that these corporations are engaged in. And we have data on about another 3,000, but that is not fully vetted, and we've not yet posted all of that information. But they could also become members. And through the membership, we do send out newsletter and annual reports that talk more about our successes and our activities. I would like to stress that this has been a program principally funded by Diane and myself for the last 7 years. We really need to be bigger, and we really would enjoy support from others. I mean, membership would help that. We also ask for donations, but I really wish we could expand our staff and put more technology into our IT so that we could create, and we are in the process of upgrading the website and our app, but create more powerful tools to really help influence and affect corporate decisions. And I will tell you, we are working on a plan to deal with the invested dollar issue.
Okay.
And the plan is, which has been under discussion for a year, is that number one, we would create funds for 401ks and IRAs, where if your issue is strongly pro-life, we would have a fund that you can put money in where we will guarantee we'll scrub those corporations and you will not be putting your money into any company that is funding abortion. Just appreciate, too, when someone is funding abortion, they're also funding sex trafficking, human trafficking, pornography, and prostitution, because abortion is necessary for all of that.
Now, David, for those of us that want to help you beyond just taking a membership? What can we do? You were beginning to share some of the things as we were concluding the show, but I'd like to hear more about some of the programs that you plan for the future and what we can do to help with your membership drive.
Well, we are promoting the membership very heavily. We do that principally through our website. We are, as I began to talk about, looking at the invested dollar and to look to create funds that would, a pro-life fund, a Second Amendment fund, and a religious liberty fund, so that people could direct their dollars appropriately and begin to move away from corporations that are so socially active against our values. We are going to be looking also to recruit part-time people that would be willing to actually come on as a researcher and help conduct this research. We can give them the guidance on how to do this. And we also want to recruit folks who could come on as social posting team members, where they will go to websites and post responses appropriately when it is appropriate to mention that, hey, Second Vote is addressing this issue, go to Second Vote and take a look. For instance, whenever there's a big issue on Second Amendment, we'd love to be out there promoting to people, come to our website. We have something called Gun Cam, where we've had a camera on a gun for 2 years and it's not yet committed a crime. And since the liberals say the guns create, cause crimes, this gun is completely safe so far. We've watched it for 2 years. But on that website, we show from the Centers for Disease Control what causes unexpected and early death for Americans. And legal gun ownership is at the very bottom. You start with abortion, of course, but then you also go into the issue that physicians, through misdiagnosis or failure to treat properly, have about 250,000 patients who die a year. And nobody's screaming to outlaw doctors, but that's a reality. That's true. That's what Johns Hopkins reports. And so we have baseball bats listed. We have all sorts of other ways in which people die through violence or unexpectedly. And legal gun ownership is way to the bottom. So we have, what we would like to do is have folks on a part-time basis working with us, where they would go out to appropriate sites, post appropriate messaging to try to drive folks to our websites. The other thing we're looking for is there are 3,200, right around 3,200 counties in the United States. And my recollection is President Trump carried about 3,144 of those, or somewhere around that number. And so we're basically still a very conservative country. But what we want to do is recruit a county advocate, county patriot, Second Vote patriot for every county, and have that patriot within that county helping to identify local businesses that we would score by zip code as to whether or not their values are in alignment with our scoring. And we would have them also working with churches in the area, trying to ensure that we get people registered to vote. We do have a religious liberty initiative in which we're going to bring educational materials into churches to teach congregations about how all the major holidays for the United States are Judeo-Christian based. We want to give the history of those holidays and show members of congregations how we were formed as a Christian nation. Actually, there's 3,141 counties in the United States. Donald Trump carried 2,626 of those counties, and Hillary Clinton 515, although there's some debate about that. So the second vote patriots in the counties would help also recruit members, sign up members, find followers, identify donors, help us raise funds to continue to grow the Second Vote effort.
And the corporations that you mentioned earlier in the show that have decided that they're going to fight against capitalism, What's the plan for educating the public about those organizations? Because somehow I missed that declaration or manifesto or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah, it's a week ago Monday. I don't know if you have access to the Wall Street Journal website, but it's on pages A6 and A7. I will tell you what's ironic is on page A5 is a huge ad by Charles Schwab saying we're going to maximize your return on investment. So they must have known the manifesto was going to be printed, and then they ran an ad right in front of it. But we're going to have to work harder to get our citizens to understand the benefits, the tremendous benefits of the form of capitalism that we have in the United States, a capitalism that is tempered by our Judeo-Christian values. And that's what's unique about it. I mean, capitalism without restraint can be just as ugly as socialism or communism. But what we've done in this country over the decades of developing regulations, as we've successfully curbed the worst of what capitalism can be. And so we have this wonderful system that is really a capitalist system expressed through a Judeo-Christian foundation. And as a consequence, it's not the evil beast that people say it is. I mean, absolutely, it could be, but it's not, because this is America and we've done it better. So we do need to do a far, far better job. We need to get these stats out about, 88% of Americans are among the 17% wealthiest people in the world. That didn't just happen. I mean, we are so many leagues ahead of all the other countries of the world. And again, this is why people from all over the world come here.
But to the left, that's a negative. The left sees that success as a negative.
Well, then they're not opening their eyes and looking around. You know, as Teddy Roosevelt, a Republican who began the whole conservation movement in the United States, and it was a Republican president and a Republican Congress that gave us the Environmental Protection Agency. We have more deer in North America today than we had when the colonialists first came off, when they first stepped off the Mayflower. We have coyote here in Tennessee that are multiplying like crazy. We have elk in Tennessee, but buffalo are coming back. I mean, our management, wildlife management in the United States outstrips everybody else. I'm a member of the International Conservation Caucus Foundation in 46 countries. And we go to these other countries that are destroying their habitat. Here in the United States, we are the world's leader in protecting habitat. And it's a total myth that there is this environmental, I mean, set aside the myth of man-made climate change, there's a total myth about us harming our climate. It's not us that's harming the world's natural habitat, and it's really other countries. But the other thing is, people forget what a big world it is, Carol. Do you know how many trees there are in the world? There are 3 trillion trees in the world. If you counted one tree a second, 24 hours a day, it would take you 100,000 years to count them all. And we're planting trees in this country all the time like crazy. But it's just, people don't have lost sight of the fact that the world is a big, big world. But in this big world, America does everything better than the rest of the world.
Well, with that, we will end this show. And David, I appreciate so much your being on the Be the People show, your support for my research, and I would like to offer my support for your plan for growth and expansion with Second Vote. And so anything I can do to promote Second Vote, I'm out there. I'm on it.
Well, thank you, Carol. And that you have given us this opportunity to participate in your show, both by being a sponsor and being interviewed, and that helps tremendously. And thank you so much. Greatly appreciate that.
All right. Be the people who change America by the choices that you make. Until next time.